Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you as we're taking this little history lesson, trip back in time with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins. We're talking about the history of, hey, not just the Riley County Fair, but just fairs in the region. It was 100. I just had that math in front of me. What did I say, Cheryl?
148.
Good memory. 148 years ago, the very first Riley County Fair was held, and the 149th is coming up here in just 10 days, July 26th through the 30th at the Riley County Fairgrounds, Kyle Valley Rodeo, which we gave away some tickets this morning. And I believe, Mitch, we're giving those away all week, right? Yep, we are. All week, we're giving away those tickets.
7:40 tomorrow morning.
7:40 every day.
Every day.
Every day.
In the morning. Not at night.
Morning. 7:40 a.m. So early bird gets the worm on the Kyle Valley Rodeo tickets. Again, here with Cheryl Collins talking about some history with the Riley County Fair. First one was in 1870, and I think now we've got to the early 1900s, I think is where we kind of left off.
Yeah,
Cheryl.
We went to Riley, city of Riley, and we were there. There was also a corn carnival held in Leonardville between 1896 and 1909, or roughly in that period. And I think that's interesting. Of course, corn was a major crop in Riley County, and corn carnivals kind of encouraged that growing of corn. And it gave Leonardville a nice festival to have in counterpoint to Riley County Fair. I think it's interesting, in 1897, Annie Diggs spoke at the Leonardville Corn Carnival. And of course, Annie Diggs was a major figure in the farm advocacy movement of that period. So she would have been a big draw. I bet they had a lot of people to hear Annie Diggs.
And what was usually her message?
Well, she was a cohort of Mary Elizabeth Lease that exhorted farmers to grow less corn and more hell. So, less corn and more hell. That was Mary Elizabeth Lease, or Yellen Ellen. And Annie Diggs was an ally in that movement. It was basically an attempt for farmers to get a little more political control of their lives, because I think they felt pushed by the railroads and shipping costs, and pushed by low prices and farming. It's the usual thing with farming.
So much has changed.
Yeah, so much has changed. So it was an attempt to find a political way to address some of those problems.
And, of course, during that era, I mean, you're really talking kind of about the robber baron era. This is just right before.
And I think that's how those farmers saw them,
right?
Was robber barons robbing them.
And especially if you look at the history of the railroads, I mean, you only have maybe two or three different railroad companies across the entire nation. It was definitely that this was an issue Teddy Roosevelt basically ran on when it came to union busting and those sort of things. It was right towards the Gilded Age and right before the stock market crash. So the early 1900s to me is always an incredibly interesting era.
There were a lot of dynamics at play with that.
The height of industrialization.
And in Leonardville, they were hearing about it with Annie Diggs in 1897. Of course, then the Riley County Fair at Riley City went out. But by 1925, 4-H fairs were coming on. And in 1925, the 4-H fair was held in the Manhattan Community Building. And Paul mentioned the community building downtown there at 4th and Houston, and that building was built as the White Soldier Community Center during World War I, and then was used as the city for the city recreation and meeting place after that. So 1925, that's where the 4-H fair was. Then, though, they kind of had makeshift places. In 1944, I thought it was interesting. Because of heavy rain, the 4-H livestock was exhibited at Brewer's Garage at 6th and Points, and the home ec exhibits were across the street in the Lucinda Harris Temple of the Methodist Church. So they'd kind of shift to different places where they could. The next year, in 45, the livestock was exhibited at Miller's Exchange Lot, and I'm not sure where that was. But then the other exhibits were at the Manhattan Motors Building at 3rd and Houston. And then 46, the livestock was on the Manhattan High School grounds, and of course that would have been the 9th and Points Manhattan High School grounds, and the exhibits were in the high school auditorium. So they were having to shift around all the time. And so in 1946, the Raleigh County Fair Association was organized, and they began to try to develop a permanent fairground. And by 1949, the city of Manhattan gave them some land adjacent to Griffith Stadium, and they built a fairgrounds right there. So in 1949 to 1953, they built three permanent buildings, Potter's Hall, Casement Hall, and Swine Pavilion, there at the land adjacent to Griffith. So that was a stable place where they could have the fair every year.
Like you said, the city donated that land, and also the county, too, or was that still all city proper? Because I know the Seco Park, city.
That was city property.
Okay.
The Griffith property was. And, you know, it's good business to have a fair in your town. It draws all those people, and I'm certain they didn't like those years when it was up in Raleigh City because all those people were going up there and spending money and doing those things. So it was good business to have a fair in town.
You mentioned 4-H, and it's so crucial with county fairs and state fairs as well. 4-H started in 1902, so that fits with how all these things just kind of come together, which is always, to me, the great interesting thing about history is that it's always just kind of a lot of little things just kind of slowly converging when it comes to events. So I said this before on this program, we always think of history as just kind of a notch on the timeline and dates, and that we just think that something happened on this date and it's isolated to this date. But
it's all connected.
It's right. It's a lot of little things that lead up to these events.
Yes. And then influence things later, too.
Indeed.
Looking at the fair, I think it's really interesting because now there's a large component of activities and exhibiting by children. And, of course, 4-H is the 4-H fair is centered around that. When you look back at those earliest fairs, those were not children exhibitors. That was farmers and adults.
So, and horse racing and some
horse
gambling.
Racing. Yeah, and gambling. Yeah, things like that that you absolutely are not present in fairs today.
I believe it was, I think, when we had Jennifer Wilson, the Raleigh County Extension director, was on here either last week or the week before. I can't remember exactly when she was on In Focus, but within the last couple of weeks she was on, and we were talking about the fair and about the events coming up for this year's fair, again, 10 days away on the 26th. And one observation that I think we all agreed on is that the cool thing about fairs and county fairs, state fairs, is that it's such a nice intersection and look of past, present, and future. And I'm sure it was always that way where you're kind of just like right now, the fair is showcasing robotics and all sorts of technology that you wouldn't think of with the stereotypical county fair. But I'm sure it's always been that way where fairs have been used to highlight technology. We always think of like the World's Fair, right? The Chicago
yes.
World's Fair, where they're
yes.
debuting new technology. That's such a so intertwined in fairs.
Very much. And that's a good thought because those fairs have been exceptionally influential. I ran across a notation that the first public reception for mentholatum was at the Kansas State Fair in 1896. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. They chose to essentially show that product to the public at that fair. And, of course, that company grew up to be a worldwide company, starting in Wichita, Kansas. So you're right. Those fairs are kind of influential in the way that they can give communities a venue to showcase what they have, what's new, what's happening, and so on.
Do want to remind folks, we're about to take a break, our last break of the hour. During that break, think of some questions. Think of some memories you have
yes,
at the Raleigh County Fair.
I'd like to hear what people ate at the fair and did at the fair.
Ooh, yeah. Tell us your favorite fair food.
Yeah.
And Cheryl, I might ask you your favorite fair food on the other side. We're talking more Raleigh County history here on News Radio KMAN.
K KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sleep Source, your appliance specialist located in the West Loop Shopping Center.